We read the word of God this morning from Nehemiah chapter 8. Nehemiah chapter 8. And we'll read verses 13 through the end of the chapter. This is after the return from the exile in Babylon. And this is a record of the people of Israel keeping the Feast of Tabernacles, or maybe you prefer to call it the Feast of Booths. And the timing is the seventh month, maybe not November, but October. So the timing is very similar to the timing that we are observing today. It is the time after the full harvest. So Pentecost was the first fruits of the harvest when the harvest was beginning. But now the farmers and the laborers were finished, and the fields were empty, and the granaries in the land of Canaan, the silos, the grain bins, the barns were full. And God called for a feast of joy and thanksgiving, that time of the year in Old Testament Israel. And we're going to read about that now. Nehemiah 8, verse 13. I hope you notice how I gave you a little time to find that. Nehemiah 8, verse 13. And on the second day, were gathered together the chief of the fathers of all the people, the priests and the Levites, unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month, and that they should publish and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go forth unto the mount and fetch olive branches and pine branches and myrtle branches and palm branches and branches of thick trees to make booths, as it is written. So the people went forth and brought them and made themselves booths, every one upon the roof of his house, and in their courts, and in the courts of the house of God, and in the streets of the water gate, and in the street of the gate of Ephraim. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. For since the days of Jeshua, that's Joshua the son of Nun, unto that day had not the children of Israel done so, and there was very great gladness. Also day by day, from the first day unto the last day, he read in the book of the law of God, and they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day was a solemn assembly according unto the manner. This morning, beloved, we consider thanksgiving in the Feast of Booths, or thanksgiving in the Feast of Tabernacle. And what I want to show to you is that that feast was instituted, if I have checked the dates properly, around 3,500 years ago. And that feast, I want you to think of it this morning this way, was not ended when Jesus came, but rather we should think of it this way, it was fulfilled when he came. And now we must not say we don't celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles anymore, but we ought to say that we celebrate it now as the Church of Jesus Christ in a new and better way. So we consider the Feast of Tabernacles and think of something that is related to us, not something that, well, that's old and done away with and has nothing. No, that this feast is our feast. Now, the text here in Nehemiah chapter 8, especially in verses 13 and 14, takes us back to the wilderness about 3,500 years ago, 4,000 years ago, and Moses. The text tells us that the fathers of all the people, the priests, the Levites, Ezra the scribe, they came together and they found written in the law which the Lord had commanded by Moses that the children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. What they did is they went back to Leviticus 23. And they found that the Lord had spoken to Moses about seven feasts. And this Feast of Tabernacles was the seventh of those feasts. And this feast was then instituted by God. And Moses maybe never celebrated this feast because this was preparation for going into the land of Canaan. And in the land of Canaan, in this feast, there were especially three things for the people of Israel to remember. One was deliverance from the bondage of Egypt. Now, the first feast was actually all about that deliverance from the bondage of Israel from Egypt. It was the feast of the Passover, the feast where the people celebrated that God, through the 10 plagues, and finally through the 10th plague of the killing of the firstborn of all of the Egyptians, but saving the children of Israel through the blood of the lamb that was on their doorposts. That was God's great act of saving, delivering Israel from the bondage of Egypt. Now, that feast was first in order to be the feast that was to carry through all of the other feasts. At every feast, the children of Israel were to be thinking of this. We were slaves in Egypt. We were dead in Egypt. And we are free now because of the grace of God through the blood of the Lamb. So at the Feast of Tabernacles, the children of Israel were to have great joy in this and never ever stop thanking God for this. We were slaves, but we are freed, redeemed through the blood of the Lamb. That's why we're in the land of Canaan. Secondly, this feast had to do with the wilderness wanderings. You ask the question, the children ask the question, what are these booths, these little tabernacles, little dwelling places? And the answer is, these were the temporary homes of the people of Israel for 40 years in the wilderness. They lived in Goshen in Egypt, and they maybe had homes. And in the land of Canaan, when they would possess that land, they would have homes. But God said, this is what I want you to do once a year in the land of Canaan. If you don't have a yard, I want you to build a booth on the top of your house. If you have a courtyard, I want you to build a booth out there. And what to do with all of the people who come from all over Israel to the city of Jerusalem. I want you to go to Jerusalem. By the way, beloved, this shows you how important this feast is. There were seven of them, but there were only three that required this. No matter where you live in Israel, you go to the city of Jerusalem and you fill the city of Jerusalem with my people. And you worship me, and you thank me, and you praise me, and you rejoice in my wonderful works for you. And now, you can imagine what this was like. Verse 16, in the street of the water gate, the street of the gate of Ephraim. Just imagine, beloved, if 20th Avenue and Baldwin Avenue and all of the streets around us were filled with maybe teepees. Maybe that's the picture you have in your mind, like a tent, only with branches and made out of trees. And God said, basically, you get out of your homes for a week. And you go live again in a temporary dwelling place. And you remember this. You should have perished in the wilderness. But you didn't, because I provided for you. And the young children in Old Testament history have just gone over this. God says, here you are in the land of Canaan now when you're celebrating this feast. And you have homes, and you have cupboards, you have granaries full of food, you have wells, and you have water. But I want you to remember, there was a time when you would have died in the wilderness, except that you prayed daily for bread, and daily that bread appeared in the dew of the earth. And you would have died of thirst, except you prayed daily and you depended on me every day to provide water out of the rock that followed you. That rock followed them for 40 years to give them water in the wilderness. And do you see what God is saying to a people who are living in this land with, well, flowing with milk and honey? They have everything in their homes. They have fields that they have harvested where they have piles of food. And he's saying, it's no different. I want you to go in those temporary dwelling places and remember that even as you're living in the land of Canaan, you depend upon me and must be thankful to me as much as you were in the wilderness. And so the people were to remember deliverance from Egypt, provision in the wilderness, and then finally, abundance in the land of Canaan. Here you are, a people blessed because God is your Lord, a people who are living in this land that is a picture of heaven, because I redeemed you out of Egypt. I preserved you in the wilderness. And now I, by the power of my hand, drove out all of the inhabitants of this land. I've given you vineyards and fields that you didn't plant. I've given you an abundance of water and milk and honey. And all of this is to be received by you from my hand. Thank me, rejoice in me as your God. Well, now we move to the days of Nehemiah and Ezra. And already we can rejoice in the faithfulness of God, the greatness of God. This is about 1,000 years after Moses instituted this feast. And what did the Israelites find for 1,000 years? That their God was faithful in providing for them, delivering them from their sin, maintaining his covenant with them, giving the land of Canaan to possess. And beloved, there's this difference though. Maybe towards the end of that 1,000 years, or maybe for a long period during that 1,000 years, the people of Israel took it for granted. And weren't really thankful and weren't really rejoicing in the Lord, because they were living in the land flowing with milk and honey. And they did wake up every day and have everything that their hearts could desire. And maybe the Feast of Tabernacles, and you must not, beloved, take from this text that they quit celebrating that feast. They did. But maybe this feast that was supposed to be a feast celebrating God, rejoicing in him and thanking him, became a custom, a habit. Oh yes, it's that feast again. But then what happened, beloved? Well, the Israelites were ungrateful. They did not rejoice in God. For a while, they turned to idols. They depended on idols. They did what pleased them. So then God took it all away from them. And he sent them for 70 years in Babylon. And they knew what it was like to have all that Israel represented taken away from them. They didn't live in the land for 70 years. They didn't have Sabbath days and feasts rejoicing God's saving work of them in taking them out of Egypt, in preserving them in the wilderness, and in blessing them in the land of Canaan. And so here they are now. They are back in the land of Canaan after the 70 years of exile. And they read in the Word of God of God's great saving works to them. And then God's command that they keep this ceremony. You should live in booths for 7 days. Publish this to all Israel, and people need to come to Jerusalem. And you can understand, they're thankful in a way they never were before. That's the message of verse 17. And all the congregation of them that were come again out of the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. And then this is what we have. For since the days of Joshua the son of Nun unto that day, had not the children of Israel done so, and there was very great gladness. They should have never forgotten, but they did. And now they've been reminded. Everything you have is from me. Rejoice and thank me. And they're doing that. Now, beloved, let's go ahead another 600 years or so. And the Lord Jesus Christ has come down from heaven. And John 7 tells us he went to Jerusalem and he kept the Feast of Tabernacles. And you have to think about that this morning, beloved. Why does the gospel account of John basically tell us about the whole of the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ in connection with feasts? That's what John does. The Lord Jesus Christ celebrated the Feast of Passover. The Lord Jesus Christ celebrated the Feast of Pentecost. The Lord Jesus Christ celebrated the Feast of Tabernacles. And he would go to Jerusalem to keep these feasts. And what's the message there? That Jesus is a faithful Israelite, that he is a faithful religious man in his devotion to God? Yes. But the message of the gospel is deeper and richer than that. The message is the life of Israel is the life that the Lord Jesus Christ came to live for the salvation of Israel. That's the significance of the Bible telling us that he went to Egypt and was called out of Egypt. And that's the significance of the Bible telling us that he suffered everything we suffered. He experienced the life of affliction in the wilderness of this world. But he's also the one, isn't he, who crossed over Jordan and threw open the gates of heaven and has obtained for his people the inheritance of the land of Canaan. Now you come to us. today. You understand, beloved, that this Feast of Tabernacles was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ for you and me, that we may have the greater joy, the greater knowledge, the richer salvation. Don't say, well, we don't know what it's like to be delivered from the bondage of Egypt. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Because that bondage of Egypt is just a picture of bondage unto sin. And you and I experience that daily. And the children of Israel were treated as the children that they were, spiritually immature, and told, now you need to have a picture feast once a year to communicate this to you. You were slaves to sin, but the Lord, by his gracious hand and through the blood of the Lamb, has redeemed you. Beloved, you and I live in the day of spiritual maturity where God says, you don't need to have a special feast once a year, but you may celebrate this and live in the joy and the thanksgiving of this every day of your life. Jesus Christ, by the blood he shed on the cross, has delivered you from the bondage of your sins. But you're not in heaven yet. You must walk the way of the wilderness of this world. It's where we are. Don't say, well, I don't know what it's like to go through the desert as the children of Israel did for 40 years. No, the message of the scripture is that's where you are right now. You're in the waste, hollowing desert of this world. There is no water, and there is no food for you. But you understand this is spiritual. Now, the children of Israel for 40 years in the wilderness needed the picture of manna, but that manna was not the true bread from heaven. Jesus Christ is, John chapter 6, right before John 7. And the children of Israel needed that rock to follow them, but that rock was a spiritual rock. 1 Corinthians 10 says that rock was Jesus Christ. And then in the land of Canaan, the children of Israel needed to be reminded for a whole week they had this feast of God telling them, now go live in a tabernacle, a temporary dwelling place, to remind you that you have nothing, you are nothing, you depend fully upon me. Beloved, we don't need that anymore. We have the full revelation of the Word of God so that every day we may be taught this and every day we may live this. Pray this way, think this way, worship this way. Today, my food comes from God. My drink, my shelter, my clothing, it all comes from God. That, beloved, is part of our confession and part of our spiritual walk. Don't think of that as, well, that was Old Testament. They depended upon God for food. And that food, sometimes that physical blessing represented spiritual blessings. But we're past that now. No, no, this is still part of our life, that we depend upon him for daily bread. We depend upon God for work, for money, for food, for health, for all of our earthly needs. And I think the picture of the people in the land of Canaan is a very, very practical picture for you and me this morning, isn't it? With our grocery stores full of food, with our cupboards and freezers. I'm almost embarrassed to admit how many freezers we have. We decided we needed to have, well, partly size of our family, but partly because of generosity of people giving us gifts of frozen meat. We need another freezer. It's full of meat. And I wonder how good it would be for you and me to say, we're going to, and some of you may be shuddering already thinking, I don't like camping. And some of you may be thinking, oh, I love camping. But how good would it be for us to say, we're going to build some temporary shelter out in the yard, and we're not going to sleep in our homes and enjoy all the luxuries we have, and we're going to be reminded we do live day by day out of the hand of God. We need to thank Him and rejoice in Him. But now we don't need to follow the Old Testament pattern for that feast, because we have this. And we have the Spirit of Christ. Christ who died, Christ who ascended, Christ who gave us His Spirit. We have the maturity to be able to use the Word of God, to be humble every day, and to depend upon God every day. But then ultimately, it's not, is it? It's not about the turkey and the gravy and the potatoes and all of the earthly things that God has given us. Ultimately, what ought to give us a heart of thanks and praise is the salvation that God preserves us in every day. That's what we experience in the wilderness of this world. We fail. We murmur. We complain. We're not thankful as we ought to be, and yet our God is faithful to us. And He chastens us, and He teaches us. Hopefully not through a chastening as severe as the exile in Babylon, but He teaches us what we have been given by Him in Jesus Christ, and we're thankful. And I do want to point out, beloved, one verse in Leviticus 23, verse 40. I haven't researched this in great detail, but I'm taking the word of one commentator who says that this is the one feast where God actually commands joy. And ye shall take you on the first day the boughs or the branches of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and boughs of thick trees and willows of the brooks, and ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days. God commands thanksgiving and joy. And now, beloved, the whole point of that feast and the whole point of remembering the work of Jesus Christ, delivering us from the bondage of sin, preserving us in the wilderness of this world, and one day fulfilling it all in His return and bringing us to the land of promise, to heaven. The purpose of it all is to remind us, you have reason for rejoicing and thanks to your God. And we have to end there, beloved, with the land of Canaan. Interesting thing that the children of Israel lived there as a picture of heaven. And yet they had to hope for something more. A city that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Here we are living, beloved, in a sense in the wilderness of this world, and yet we have in our hearts the beginning of heavenly joy. We are experiencing the thrill of the salvation of Jesus Christ, of Him harvesting His people, gathering His people into the church from every nation, tribe, and tongue. But we're waiting. We're waiting. And what that means, beloved, is not only do we not stop thanking and praising God and celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles, it means that it's not until we get to heaven that we will really fully celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles. You see, that's when the harvest will be in. That's when full salvation will be ours. And all the glory that God has promised us in Jesus Christ, we will possess. And that is another reason God gives us the Feast of Tabernacles. To say, look ahead, see the future, and know this is guaranteed. You will be in the land of promise and possess the full glory of salvation through Jesus Christ. Let us rejoice and give thanks. Amen. Father in heaven, bless thy word to our hearts, and may we rejoice as we think of 3,500 years of thy faithfulness to thy people. Really, nothing has changed. Oh, we know that the promises have been fulfilled in greater detail. The blessings are poured out in greater measure. And yet, always thou art the God who saves sinners and who maintains thy faithfulness and thy relationship with thy people through all generations. And Lord, to know that has been going on for thousands of years assures us that that will continue in these days in which we live and all the troubles and sorrows we face. And that assures us that for thousands of years to come, yea, even for eternity, this will continue. That thou wilt be our God, and we will be thy people, blessed to know thee and to thank and to praise thee. Here's for Jesus' sake. Amen.